Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Here we go. It is time for a new episode of the Six Man Podcast, talking about Canada's team, the Toronto Raptors. In this episode, we're going to recap this past week. We're going to talk injuries. When are we getting OG back? And Ken Burch, for that matter. We'll also talk a little bit about Mr. Fred VanVleet. Is he an all-star? And also some very cool news for the Raptors superfan Nav Bhatia. We're going to see him much more, but not in his human form, someone else's human form. It'll make sense when we get to it. All right, so let's kick things off. Recapping the past week for the Raptors. We'll take it. Two wins and one loss. The one loss coming in the first game of the week on Tuesday against the Memphis Grizzlies, or Vancouver Grizzlies, as I still like to call them. I miss the Grizzlies. Pascal Siakam leading the way for the Raps with 20 points. Fred VanVleet. I could have given you 15 guesses who led in rebounds, but you wouldn't have got it. It was Fred VanVleet led the team in rebounds in that game. 9, and Pascal with 5 assists. Wasn't their night. 98-91, the Grizz take it. But then that led to the next game, which was against the very powerful Milwaukee Bucks. Now, you typically would fear the deer, especially when Giannis Antetokounmpo was playing. He did not play that game, but that doesn't mean they were shorthanded anywhere else. They still got a lot of power on that team. DeMarcus Cousins, who I talked about on this show last couple of weeks, making some appearances there as well. Giannis didn't play. The Raptors pull out the victory by 4, winning that game 97-93. Fred VanVleet leading the way, 29 points, 8 rebounds for Siakam, and Barnes leading the team in assists with 4. Great game all the way through. Really loved that Milwaukee game. Really came down to the wire. You know, when you don't have a Giannis on the floor, obviously that changes things, but this is the NBA. It's all about the next man up, and no team knows that better than the Toronto Raptors. My goodness, how many different starting lineups have we had in the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years? It's unbelievable, probably more than any other team, and we've still found success and consistency, and that's what you got to do when your star player is down. And sometimes when the focus is so much on that particular player, other players really do rise up. So I never buy the excuse of, well, we didn't have Giannis. Look at the Raptors a couple of years ago when they had Kawhi. They had an incredible record when Kawhi didn't play. In fact, I was listening to JJ Redick's podcast where he had Pascal Siakam on recently. And Pascal sort of said tongue-in-cheek, like, when Kawhi did load management, he didn't play, they were all excited because they're like, man, there's a lot more shots to go around. And they got amped for it, and they had to step up. And they had a great record when Kawhi wasn't playing. So it's all about that mentality. So don't feel sorry for the Bucks. The Raptors get the win, 97-93. Like I said, really good showing. Bucks have been on a tear to start the year. My favorites to win the Eastern Conference, but a win for the Raptors. And then that took us to last night's game against a team that we've had a lot of back and forth with already this season, the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards are always a really funny team because you don't think much of them because historically they've been a non-factor. But, you know, you watch them play and you go, man, these guys have some players now. Obviously, Bradley Beal, first and foremost, that's the guy you're thinking of. Make it $33 million, $724,200. Got to give me that $200. And you think of him, of course, first and foremost. But the other guys they have around him, too, pretty good, I got to say. That's a solid nucleus of a team there. I'm talking about guys like, you got Spencer Dinwiddie. I like him a lot. I like Denny Avdija. I never know how to say his name, but they got him in the first round a couple of years ago. Really like him. Really multi-talented player. Davis Bertans is very sneaky. One of those sneaky guys you sort of forget about and plays really well. Thomas Bryant, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Daniel Gaffer. They got a lot of length. In fact, I think the Raptors should inquire about a center with these guys over there. Montrezl Harrell. I mean, it just never stopped. Kyle Kuzma. They got some players, man. Washington's got some players. They were all there, all healthy, and the Raptors beat them. That's right. Raps got the victory over the Wiz. 102-90, they led the whole way through. In fact, at times it wasn't even close. Let's just put it this way. We ended the game with David Johnson on the court and some other guys too. Nothing against David Johnson, but yeah, we got all the backups in towards the end there. 102-90, Pascal Siakam leading the way with 31 points. Precious Achiuwa leading with 14 rebounds. And Delano Banton with 6 assists in that game. Had a great game, in fact. Had a real sneaky, beautiful pass to Scotty Barnes for the dunk. Scotty also had an incredible play. that I felt like when I watched the game, Matt Devlin fell asleep on a little bit. You know, Matt goes nuts. I love Matt Devlin. He's awesome. You know, he goes nuts for big threes and a good fadeaway, clutch moments. And Scotty made this play where he handed the ball off to Fred, then came back around, took it from him, split the defenders, left the guy just standing there, did sort of like not quite a Euro step, and went around and went in for the dunk. I was like, wow, that was a play right there. Scotty Barnes, great game as well. The Raps 2-1 on the week, and it looked pretty good. Now, let's go to the injury report, because when are we getting some of these guys back? The offensive rating for the Raptors when OG Anunoby is not playing is not good. We need OG back. Status is still out with no set time for return. Kem Birch, his knee, also was ruled out for Sunday's game. We hope he's going to be back soon, both of those guys, but still no timeline. They're really not saying much, which I honestly thought they would be back by now, especially OG. When Nick Nurse initially said that he's going to be out for a while, then like 3 days later, they had him listed from out to questionable. I thought that was a good sign, but maybe he's just not responding well to treatment, or, you know, hips are funny things. Just ask my dad. He's always complaining about his hip. He's a lot older than OG though. And of course, Goran Dragic also out indefinitely due to personal reasons. He may have put his Raptors uniform on for the last time. I don't know what's going on with him. Look to move him or get him somewhere else, but they got to get something for him. So injuries still playing a role here on the season. OG was really, really rolling. It's great when the guy stepped up, right? Like I said, they were without Giannis. We were without OG. You're like, well, you can't compare those guys. Well, OG is the leading scorer on our team, so we definitely need him out there. And Giannis the leading for the Bucks as well. So it was a game with two stars missing, but we still pulled out the victory and looked pretty good in doing it. Coming up this week, the Raptors will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are just a young, exciting team to watch. I'm actually really looking forward to that game. 7:30 Eastern on Wednesday. Then on Friday, they're taking on the New York Knickerbockers. We'll see how that game goes as well. The Knicks also on a roll. People talking about what's that one more piece they need to make a run at the Eastern Conference. I don't know. Love RJ Barrett. Think he's playing really well. They're already looking to unload Kemba Walker. What happened to Kemba Walker, man? What happened to that dude? He was like a star player. I used to watch him and go, man, he is frustrating. He is so frustrating to play against. Then he goes to Boston. Now he's with the Knicks. I don't know where he's going to end up. Is he like the next Isaiah Thomas, possibly? You know what I mean? And still goes through Boston. He's like unbelievable. One of the top scorers in the league. I think he's telling reporters, you better back up the Brinks truck. And when I hit free agency, gets an injury, and now you never hear from him anymore. He's getting 10 days, I think, somewhere. Anyways, we'll see how that week pans out. But I want to get to the next thing that we got on deck. The Raptors superfan Nav Bhatia is going to be getting a bit of a makeover here. Cal Penn. Yes, that's right. From Harold and Kumar fame, is going to be playing Nav Bhatia on the big screen. Unbelievable. Deadline has reported that a biopic about Nav Bhatia is in the works, and actor Cal Penn, yes, of Harold and Kumar, is slated to play the sports fan. His story of perseverance and unity is incredible, and I'm super excited to bring his super fan story to the super big screen, tweeted Penn, who will also produce the movie. Great choice, great actor, love it, and he does have an incredible story. If you want to learn about his story, you can go back to season one of this podcast. I have an episode dedicated solely to Nav Bhatia about his incredible journey to where he is and where he comes from. It's fantastic. So we'll see how that all pans out. I hope it's not one of those things that gets shelved for too long. You got to make that story. We need Nav Bhatia to have his own movie starring Cal Penn. I'm here for it and can't wait for it to come out. No release date yet on that, but hopefully, yeah, it'll get made soon and be on its way. Now, if you can't wait to see that story, there is a newly released documentary about Nav Bhatia now streaming on CBC. They've got a story about him as well, which is pretty cool. You can check that out. And I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with that. I think it's really cool. All right, last but not least, we're going to talk about Steady Freddy. That's right, Fred Van Fleet. And I had somebody ask me the other day, do you think Fred Van Fleet is an all-star? And my answer is short and sweet. Yes, I think he is an all-star. All-star, don't get me started on all-star games, okay? It's exhausting. There's so many guys that I feel get to go to the all-star game, play in the all-star game every single year that are not quite deserving, to be honest with you. there have been many, many seasons where you got these star players like a Kyrie or whoever, Anthony Davis, who have huge injury histories. And they're out for like most of the first half of the season. And then they still play in the All-Star game. Drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. The NBA is a what have you done for me now league. It is not about the name or what you've done in the past. It's all about right now. So if a player elevates their game to be at an all-star level, they deserve to be starting in your place. And I could go off about the infamous all-star game with Vince Carter and Michael Jordan, where everybody was hating on Vince Carter. You need to step aside and let Michael Jordan start in your place because it was his last all-star game. And Vince, I thought, was very stoic. That was when he played for the Raptors. So very stoic and said, if I do that, that's a slap in the face to the fans that voted me in to be an all-star starter. And I went, yes, Vince. Yes, absolutely correct. Put a bow on it. That guy knows what he's talking about. Look, Michael Jordan's had his time. He's going to go down as the greatest player of all time. Come on. He wasn't voted in as a starter, and he's Michael Jordan. That's right. That's what I mean by it's a what have you done for me lately league. And Vince deserved that spot and then ultimately steps aside and lets Michael start in his place because he got so much pressure. I think it was all peer pressure, to be honest with you. I think too many players got into his ear and were like, you have to do this. And Vince just got kind of bullied right out of it. Let Michael start in his place. Totally wrong. It was the total wrong thing to do. Do you think Michael Jordan ever gave anybody anything in his career playing basketball? No. No. Do you think Michael Jordan would have done that if the situation was reversed? No. No. It was unbelievable that he did that. Michael Jordan is supposed to be the epitome of take what he wants, put his head down, get it done. I'm better than you. I'm going to get the victory. I'm going to get the steal. I'm going to get the butt. He's all about that. That's what he stands for. Nobody ever gave him anything. That's what he's all about. And I watched The Last Dance. More than once. So when Vince did that, I was so disappointed. So disappointed. I did not vote for Michael Jordan to start in that All-Star game. Okay? He's started in many All-Star games. Maybe show a little humility that you're at the last, you know, year of your career and come off the bench. That'll be a big moment too. But when Vince did that, it drove me nuts. Okay, I've had my rant. But he did it anyways. And I remember thinking actually quickly in that game when Vince did let Mike start in his place, I was like, I know what's going to happen. I'm watching the All-Star game. I know what's going to happen. Jordan's going to play for like 2 or 3 minutes. Then they're going to get Vince in there, and Vince is going to play for like 8 or 9 minutes. He's going to play the majority of the... No, that's not what happened. I was infuriated. Vince barely played in that All-Star game too, and that's what angered me even more. Okay, he's not starting, but he'll play a ton of minutes. No, he didn't. Oh my goodness. I was so frustrated by that All-Star game. Just disgusting. Anyways, yeah, you might be hating on me because Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan is he's the GOAT for a reason. He took everything. He didn't give anything away, and he certainly would have done that if somehow the situation was reversed. I didn't agree with it. It's a what have you done for me lately league, and sometimes we fall in love with names way, way, way too much, especially when it's guys that are injured and not playing a lot. I like the fact that it's a coach's decision thing for the reserves. That makes some sort of sense because the coaches have a stronger sense of who's really bringing it this year. So they'll often pick guys that, you know, more so agree with. And let's be honest with you, Freddie is unfortunately not going to get voted in as an all-star starter. Would I like to see that happen? Of course I would. But there's a lot of guys ahead of him. There's a lot of guys ahead of him, especially in the Eastern Conference. And emerging guys like LaMelo Ball, for example. See, that kid is built for the NBA All-Star game, okay? He is built for it. He's flashy. He's exciting. That's what the fans want to see. I respect that. Steady is just efficient across the board. So it's all about honoring him and what he's done. 19.8 points right now. He's 33rd in the league in scoring. I think he should absolutely be an All-Star reserve. I also subscribe to the fact, and you can yell at me if you want. You can yell into your podcast devices if you want. I really like the at least one player being represented from each team. I've always liked that. I really have. If I was a diehard fan of Dallas or Sacramento, maybe let's pick a lower end team like Sacramento. And I think De'Aaron Fox is just like one of the best point guards out there. And he's not even getting representation. He's near the top. And you got, what, 4 guys from the Golden State Warriors in that All-Star? You know what I mean? That rubs me the wrong way. I feel like there should be a cap, no more than 2 guys from one team that go to the All-Star game. I thought it was bad when there was an All-Star game and the entire, was it the entire five were Golden State Warriors? Wasn't that the year? It was Steph, Clay, Draymond, Kevin Durant. I think that's what, I think that was it. But it's just, I didn't like that. If I wanted to watch a Warriors game, I'd watch a Warriors game. But I think two, no more than two from one team. Sorry, you're out. We go down to the next one. And then the coaches picking the reserves, I don't really have a problem with that. They'll often pick guys that sort of get a nod that aren't your typical players and that you sort of think of. And, you know, it's how guys like Zach LaVine are going to get a chance to go for the most part. And guys like Fred, and I think he should be, but there definitely are some choices ahead of him. It's hard to say he supersedes any other point guards in the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of good ones, but I sure am glad to have him. Don't get me wrong. I would rather have Fred VanVleet than LaMelo Ball, to be honest with you. He's super exciting, yes, but he's got a lot of turnovers. He's trying to be the man all the time. I think there's a chance. LaMelo's surrounded with some pretty good talent, but I mean, there's a chance he becomes, to a certain degree, like another Russell Westbrook, and that's what concerns me about him. He's always going to want to take that shot. He's always going to want to drive. He does pass very well. He is known for his trick passes and behind the back. He's very good. He's a bit more like Jason Kidd early on in his career than he is like Russell Westbrook, but he's got a lot of athleticism, a lot of flash. I hope for his sake it translates into wins, but he is looking pretty good so far. I got to give credit where credit's due. He looks good so far. But definitely, LaMelo Ball, a guy built for the All-Star game. What do you think? Is Fred VanVleet an All-Star? I would say so, but he's not your typical pick. Again, he's not as flashy. He doesn't do all that sort of stuff, but he's a champion. He's a starter. His team's winning percentage is like 22% higher every time he plays. He's 33rd in the league in scoring, averaging right around 20 points per game. The only difference with Fred is he's got more weapons around him, but he makes people better. And when you watch things like Open Gym, the new episode of Open Gym is about Precious Achiuwa. He eats Oreos in a really weird way, but I'm definitely going to try it. He eats Oreos with a fork. Anyways, there's a scene in the new episode of Open Gym where Freddie's pumping up the team before a game, and he just sounds like a born leader, man. That he's pumping up the team. He's like, we're going to get this win. We're not getting out of here without this win. He sounds like a leader. He is invaluable to his team, and I think he should be acknowledged in some way, shape, or form. And if that's an all-star reserve nod, then that's what it should be. But it's not up to me, so it'll most likely be Budenholzer. I'm not sure if he was the coach last year. You can't do it 2 years in a row, so it might go to the next team down, but I think he deserves it. What do you think? You can have your say on our social media on Instagram and Twitter. We will see you next week where we recap the wraps and tell you what's going on, and if they're going to be making a trade, we'll see. I think Goran Dragic will be the first to go, but that trade deadline is going to come up before you know it, but we got Christmas first, so let's enjoy that. Happy holidays, everybody. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.